music icon Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner's pies, and we walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said, as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, again seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. We smoked the last one, and now we're gone. So I looked at the scenery, she read the magazines, and the I'm lost. Oh, I said, though I knew she was sleeping, I'm empty, I'm aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. They've all come to look for America.
Ladies and gentlemen, here to give his endorsement of Newt Gingrich for president, it's Artie Kornfeld.
Well, with G, man, and you know what, Newt, one of my favorite people of all time. You know, he actually, did you know he invented the light bulb?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he stuck it in his ear and plugged his foot into a socket, and he actually glowed. amazing what people could do with when they have delusions of grandeur. And talking about delusions of grandeur, dig this guy. I mean, he spends more than a dancer at a strip club. You know, what a trip. It's funny we played the song because I'm not bragging about it, but, you know, I grew up with Paul Simon. His brother worked for me and my producer's brother, and, you know, we were very close. And, you know, Paul Simon did say that version by Bert that I did on the album was, Paul said that Artie Cornfield got me. He's the only one who ever did it. And he said that our version was better than his version of They've All Come to Look for America. Now, I don't know if I agree. It's sort of hard to judge something because it's really, you know, Bert did an incredible performance and McCracken did a great arrangement. So, and the musicians were there. So that's just life. Sort of crazy out there with who's running this week that you, who's the candidate of the week, guys, you man? Who do you prefer to destroy tonight?
Well, I'll save that for another show because the top of the news people just listened to was basically Herman Cain on his last leg, so he'll be the next one to withdraw, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I never knew he was actually here, but you know, but it's really hard to quite understand because you know, I've been in different parts of America, you know, and in the South where, you know, there is segregation and it is taking place in this country. And we read about what's happening in Somalia and all over, and all we got to do is take our local paper out, you know, and you know, they keep it hidden. But if you go to page 92nd, which is probably the only page, it's probably 50 pages more than any of these newspapers have. You'd be shocked at the stuff that they do not report about. You know, they don't tell you why your kids don't have school. You know why the kids in Korea told me that they have 2,000 hours a year more school than American students. 2,000 hours a year more, and we're looking to cut out, not we, but the Republican, you know, that beautiful right-wing group, you know, with the Tea Party basis, with your favorite group, like the Everly Brothers, the Koch Brothers, and they're singing All I Have to Do is Dream. You know, and I guess if you have a big checkbook, that's all you have to do is dream, huh? And forget about the kids and forget about America. But you know what? This is the spirit of the Woodstock show. And what does it really mean? I don't know. What does it mean to you, Z-Man? What does the spirit of Woodstock mean? Does it exist anymore? What do you feel?
Well, I like to think it exists. And if not, at least maybe our efforts here can do something to resurrect, which was certainly a situation that the whole world can learn from. Didn't Time magazine call it the largest peaceful gathering in human history?
Yeah, the actual quote was, they were asked to name the top 10 events in the history of mankind, and they said that the number one event was man landing on the moon. They said the number two was Woodstock, and they said point blank, Woodstock was the greatest peaceful event in the history of all mankind. So it's like, you know, I don't take ownership to that. I just am happy that we were all there, whether we were there or not there, you know, we were there anyway. And I guess we still stand by that because I still love music, and that's why, you know, when you and I talked and we decided to go and play new bands instead of just playing the hits, because you could go to any radio station and hear the same junk over and over, you know, and I like the fact that we give kids and bands a chance to be heard that wouldn't be heard, you know, and their life is dedicated to music just the way ours have been. So it's all about. The group today, Joshua Skaja, or Skaya, I still don't know how to pronounce Josh's name, you know, but really interesting music, something that really interests me just as a writer and a producer, you know, it just really interests me, the direction, and, you know, it's really good. So we got to pass it on, so why don't we just put on A Day After St. Pat's, which will lead us in, because when the song's over, we're going to have Joshua here with us, and we're going to talk about day after St. Pat's. I don't know. Do you remember any of the days after St. Pat's?
Not usually. As a band member, we usually work in that night, so it's a work night for me.
Well, I know. God, when I had this band, Max Demian, in 74, and it was like the number one headed band in the country because, you know, because it was on RCA, and they, you know, and because they put an Elvis Presley record out. They went to number one with no records out, and just brings back a lot of memories. So I remember that, you know, in where was it? Savannah, I think it was, where they make St. Patrick's Day is almost like their Mardi Gras. And it was wild and bizarre and berserk and at times frightening, you know. Some of that has to do with me myself. I take total, you know, I take all the scars and I wear them well, you know. So a day after St. Pat's, let's see what it was like for Joshua.
Well, you remember her first name and her first choice of whiskey. Her clothes are piled up on your floor. The world is still and she is still sleeping, the girl from the night before. She told you the barkeep must not want her money. She can't seem to flag the man down. She just wants a whiskey and a pint of cold porter. And so you order you both around. You drank to the Irish, you drank to St. Patrick, you drank till you were out of your head. Last night was a late one, but you're still up early, and there's a stranger asleep in your bed. You remember her singing, you remember her laughter, you remember the cut of her dress. You remember the walk home and not a thing after, but it don't take a genius to guess. You drank to the Irish, you drank to St. Patrick, you drank till you were out of your head. Last night was a late one, but you're still up early, and there's a stranger asleep in your bed. You're thinking about coffee, you're thinking about breakfast, you're thinking about going back to bed. You don't need the sleep, but you could use the company, and you're wondering if she's awake yet. You drank to the Irish, you drank to St. Patrick, you drank till you were out of your head. Last night was a late one, but you're still up early, and there's a stranger asleep in your bed. Yes, there's a stranger asleep in your bed.
Hello.
Hello.
I think I'm back on the air, and I think I'm here with Joshua. you know, and Joshua was, I was turned on to Josh from Bat Scully, and it just, something that just hit me, and I like the fact that there are people that are not just wasting time on the air, you know, because all the other stuff you're hearing on the air, I probably will never get a record played again, but a lot of it is just, you know, you wouldn't watch your music put on the air, you know, if it was, if there were things done to get your record on the air that were so opposed to what you were saying in your songs. So, you know, I like the fact that you stay true to your school and what you wrote. You know, why did you what made you write that song?
Well, I woke up actually the morning of St. Patrick's Day. This would have been last year, maybe the year prior to that, and I was just itching to write. You know, sometimes you get in that mode and you're ready to write. And I was, you know, sometimes writing in a vacuum is difficult. I know you were playing that Paul Simon tune, and he talks about having something to react to. And so I just put on a tape of my friend playing his dobro, and there's a little tiny snippet of this melody that kept coming back to me. I was like, oh, that's really great. And I took that, and I just ran with it. I wrote a whole thing, and then I saw him the next day, or that night, played a gig with him. I said, hey, what is that? And he said, that's this old fiddle tune. So I lifted three notes from a fiddle tune and created a whole new song out of that one.
Huh. So the meaning of the song is exactly what it says.
Just yeah, really, you know,
it's not really a big hidden message in there, because, you know, anybody out there, if they don't get the message of what we're feeling, you know, and you and I have a difference in age, but I bet you we don't have a big difference in how we feel about life, you know?
No, I think you're right on that nail there.
I bet you we're very close, you know, and I think that's what's good, because the difference between the generations before and the Woodstock generation and the Woodstock nation, that seemed like a huge, huge difference. And right now, the split is so huge that, you know, it's a little frightening, you know, to even think about it, because, you know, come on, people, now smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. I still feel that stuff, although it's a little hard when, you know, smile on your fellow man. It's a little scary when he may have a 45, be looking to blow you away. So I like to think maybe it's a better chance that we are going to get through this and we're going to be America again. And I mean, I love America. You know,
I remain optimistic.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a good way to put it, too, because I was just going to say, I say that because out of fear that if I don't say it, now I don't defend it all, ever, you know. So it's, so then, your titles are really, you know, off the wall, and I really appreciate them. And was there any particular thing that set you off in a direction? By the way, when did you start playing? And when did you decide this is going to be my life?
Well, I had, you know, I played a little upright bass and trumpet in like grade school, and then I begged my parents for a guitar. My 14th birthday, I got the guitar, and I don't think I came out of my bedroom for a month and a half. You know, I gave up sleeping and eating, and was just really excited about playing guitar and enjoying that. And so, for the past say 8 years, my day job has been to entertain people, and I would play weddings and corporate events and play in, you know, some, I guess, wine bar type spots, get to play all this music that I like that's written by other artists. And then I would get all these questions. Hey, do you have any of your own material? Something that, you know, you could play that you wrote? And so I would start playing these tunes, and then people would start requesting them. And, hey, play that song that you wrote. And so I was basically hounded into recording some of my own material, and now I've just really been having a great time writing.
Yeah, really. You know, actually, since we opened with America and Paul Simon, that's sort of Paul's, as I know from my, you know, semi-close relationship, you have a very similar opinion, you know, in the way you express things, because it's like you don't pull any punches and you say what you really feel. This is not protest stuff. This is protesting us not doing enough to help those of us that are hurting. you know, and how do you ignore? It's like I guess it was like at the end of World War II when or in the middle of when the United States was still not in Europe, you know, and meanwhile the concentration camps are going, and you know, although Roosevelt finally made a move, all this was going on. It was like everybody turned their head the other way and pretended that these 30 million people, or how many million it was, were getting wiped out. You know, so it's like, I like the fact that you go right to the point, you know. A day after St. Pat's, what would you like to play? What would you like to play? A day after St. Pat's, or Kill Two Birds? Or,
we could do Kill Two Birds. That's got a little story to go with it.
And then after that, we'll do
whatever we want.
Dim the lights and lock the doors. Put Bob Marley on the radio. Kinky record now. Turn your lights down low. Make me happy now. Spare yourself that long drive home. Kill two birds and hit stone. Our evening is coming to a close, but you don't have to go home and leave me all alone. You can pack that pipe and lie down on this bed. Well, it was made for sleeping, but there's something I'd rather do instead. Kill two birds and get stoned. Honey, you don't have to go home. We can take off all our clothes. Dim the lights and lock the door. Put Bob Marley on the radio. Kinky record now. Turn your lights down low. Make me happy now. Spare yourself that long drive home. Kill two birds and get stoned. I've got a feeling, and I can see it in your eyes, that you're thinking what I'm thinking. And I realize it's different for a woman than to be a guy. You can't afford to be impulsive about where you stay the night. Kill two birds and get stoned. Honey, you don't have to go home. We can take off all our clothes. Dim the lights and lock the doors. Put Bob Marley on the radio. Kinky record now. Turn your lights down low. Make me happy now. Spare yourself that long drive home. Kill two birds and get stoned. Come a little closer and lie down on this bed. And light this little number. Put those doubts out of your head. What good is an evening without a proper end? And in the morning when we wake up, honey, we can start again. Kill two birds and get stoned. Honey, you don't have to go home. We can take off all our clothes. Lights and lock the doors. Put Bob Marley on the radio. Kinky record now. Turn your lights down low. Make me happy.
now. Spare yourself that long drive home. Kill two birds and a stone. Kill two birds and a stone.
The day after St. Pat's, huh? And then
kill two birds is that one.
Kill two birds, then kill two birds. So I was there. I was gonna just catch up with you. Give me a second. Come on. Come on, I'm an old man. Give me a chance, you know. I could rock with the best of them, well, which I can, actually. So there. What do you think about that? whatever rock means, to me it means music, which means escape from the horror that we see around, and hope for the kids, you know. And that's why I think it's a great time. One reason I wanted you on tonight is that you're doing it, and, you know, the odds right now are so difficult. They always have been. But everybody out there who doesn't do this to try to make a living at it and get people off, because getting people off, it's not just like getting, you know, doing a gig. You're really taking people's hearts into your own heart and trying to merge, and it's really a responsibility to get your thoughts across the right way. And, you know, I really appreciate the effort that you put into this, because it takes an awful lot to get to your point, you know, unless you're going to tell me now that you're actually one of the Koch brothers' nephews and you're really on tonight to sponsor the Tea Party.
Not to the best of my knowledge. That's a good slippery courtroom reply. Yeah,
right. I mean, you know, it's almost time to say, well, I mean, everybody gets slammed on Jack Daniels and forget about the Koch brothers. and I really don't drink. You know, that's one I didn't really like. You know, well, there had to be one I didn't like. By the way, I talked about before. I do prefer looking at life, you know, straight in the eye and saying, "Come on, give me whatever you got, and let's make it a good day anyway, whatever's happening." Joshua, when were you in school? What got you to make your first demo, and how did that come about? Where you decided to go further?
Well, I was playing a lot of my shows, doing the cover thing, and I had a chance to open for my friend Peter Mulvey, who is a singer-songwriter from Milwaukee. Amazingly talented guy. I love
him. And I know about him. Isn't that weird? Just by accident.
No, I don't think that's weird at all. It's you.
Yeah, no, it is, because I spent time in Milwaukee a lot. You know? My friend Lee Arnold, who has a great show on the internet, and it was a great program director. I used to visit him all the time there, and the program director, and yeah, I've been to that, I remember that whole area is such a hotbed of music, good music, you know, people don't even realize it. And it's not that it's country yahoo, it's like it's interesting what's being thought about out there in this world right now, and too bad I'm probably going to start doing a show or two where it's just going to be two guests, and they're both going to be not musicians, just people who love music, you know, just to see what they think and what they want to play. Just, I'm really curious, wouldn't you? What they go for. Yeah, really, because, I don't know, it's surprising me, because look at the reaction to the show. I mean, you know, these people are so starving, just like we were for new music, you know. And I covered 19 generations to your one, you know. But not really. Maybe 15, you know. But the music's there, and I think the music's coming back. And you know, I said when the elections came, that election was going to really help Obama get reelected, because I sort of felt, and I hope it works out that way, that all this squabbling, you know, and I'm not against Republicans, and well, that's not true, but I'm not against anything. I'm totally neutral about anything in the world, you know. just like all of us, as we watch our kids not have nowhere to go after school to play basketball, you know, or to play chess or whatever. It's like really a good way to build strong engineers and scientists, for the next, you know. So we'll give India and China and South Korea and some of the other countries, we'll give them even more places to take jobs away from America. You know, as we take jobs away to save money here, we're taking jobs away from American kids. What is their choice, to leave and move to South America? Just run and hide? That's not the American way. You know, whatever that is, so the American way to me is stand up and fight for what you think is right. You know, no matter what, we need that attitude. You know, at least I feel that way. I hope other people do. You know, and I think they do. You know, do you feel that amongst your friends? Is there any conversation amongst your friends that you play with?
Well, yeah, to a certain degree. I feel like there's a lot of people that are you know, feeling that decline, who were sort of promised this path, like, oh, you can go to school and then you can graduate and have a job where someone tells you what to do and you can make a good living doing what someone tells you to do. And now, you know, all these people that I grew up with, they're graduated and they have, you know, maybe they started a family and they have those jobs where people tell you what to do and you can make a great living for the rest of your life following instructions. They're gone. Now you have to make your own job out of thin air. And on the one hand, you can be discouraged, and when I see all these people that are sort of downtrodden and heartbroken, then on the other hand, I have so many friends that are amazing me with their creativity and what they're doing, and the, you know, like, oh, I made this soap company. I make this organic soap. I do this. Oh, I started a coffee company that roasts their own coffee, and this ingenuity amongst a big subset of my friends. I'm enjoying watching that unfold.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. It's like watching a bunch of mad scientists looking for a way to help save the whole trip before it goes down. You know, and we got to, and you know, it's really, you know, it is our obligation. You know, we were left a world, so were you. You know, and so is my generation. We were left a world with a lot more opportunity than the kids getting out of college right now, because, you know, working like crazy, taking out loans, and then all of a sudden property is terrible and you can't keep your homes and you can't, you know, everything's getting foreclosed, and it's just, you know, I don't want to keep bailing people out about it. Just sort of on my head. It's not a bummer. It's really a turn for the best, because we could talk about this now and, you know, just watching on the news and or listening on the news, whichever way you do it, you know. You watch and listen because of the internet, you know, at the same time. But yeah, it's just I do feel something going on, you know, that's really it's almost militant, you know. But it's people really realizing the you know, what seeds have we planted, and how are they growing, and how are they taking this country and tearing it in two, you know, instead of getting it together. Do you ever feel that way, Josh, that if you didn't have music, suppose, you know, you went to work, you got out of school, what would you do if you didn't have music, if music wasn't your life?
I wonder that every day about other people, you know, that I have this amazing outlet that, you know, when something bad happens, I'm there. Like maybe 3-4 years ago, my dog was going to get put down, and I was driving to the gig, and I, like, the timing on that couldn't be any more perfect, because I went to a gig and had all this emotion and just threw myself at the show and really just poured my heart out. And I wonder what other people have that they can put that much of themselves into. And I feel bad for people that don't have that outlet.
Yeah, right. You know, it's worth the, being successful with music as your career is a lot of pressure, because you put the pressure on yourself. It's certainly not the audience, because people are just dying to hear new good music. because it affects people in every way. It gets so emotionally, you know, and it unites us and stuff. And I don't know. I feel like it said, 3 days of peace and music, and I think right now it's going to take probably 12 years of peace and music just to get back to go where we were before, you know, the Bushes took over. Not that I have anything against you guys, you know. I could probably beat you at golf. I don't think I could beat you at card games, because you seem to always win your card games, whatever that is and whatever that means. I don't even know why I said it. So what would you like to play, my friend?
I think we're going to do Steamboat Summer.
We'll just do Steamboat Summer now. Well, you know what? This is a good cut, and I like it a whole lot. So Joshua, pronounce it, my friend.
Skager.
Skager.
Joshua.
Joshua, yep. Joshua Skager. Wow. I thought you were great in the Olympics and the speed skating, by the way.
A woman pees out from behind a camera. A man feels the ears in his hands. She spends days dreaming of ways to get out of here. He's lived in Mesa, he's lived in Steamboat, but somehow we wound up back here. There ain't nothing like a steamboat summer, he says. She says, I've never been. He says, I'll take you. She says, no thank you, unless you're taking me there to live. But you can't make a living there with only a camera. I couldn't make it just laying tight. You timber on weekends, but by the end of the season, you can't afford a drink there at night. She turns on the TV at their house on Lake Street. The world outside comes crashing in. She looks to the skies for the cannonballs flying, but it's silent like snow beneath the wheels. There ain't much to do but stare out the window, counting spots on the cows in the fields. This ain't nothing like a steamboat summer, she says. He says, but you've never been. She says, I'd take you. He says, no thank you, unless you found a way for us to live. But I can make a living here with only this camera, but I can't make this into a life. Wasting away, and I end each day empty and aching inside. He says, now, baby, all of the beauty in the world won't put food on your plate. He says, baby, I've been there. It's the best place to visit, but we're not little kids anymore. We're not as young as we used to be. We're grown up like never before. Sorry to talk so about it. I know it don't help you get by. Let's For a mountain sunrise. There ain't nothing like a steamboat summer. She says, I see what you mean. The open blue sky at the dawning of night sends shivers right down to my feet. And there's not a place I've ever been to made me feel so alive. All is forgiven, the rest is just living. This is what I call a lie.
Artie.
Yeah, really enjoyed tonight with you, Josh. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. Like,
you know, let's get it out of the way because you know what? This was meant to be taken into people's homes. You know, and people that are doing music now are really people that love making music because it's not the days of the old days where, you know, people would be managed by a big manager and walk in and get $300,000 and, you know, have records bored into the top. I mean, you know, now I don't even know, you know, I know what I like and, you know, basically what I like now is still what I like then. You know, yet I picked up on that one cut by, who was it? Wasn't My Train. I think it was a new, something new by Rage that I heard that was good. You know, that I really liked. How do you market your, it's real hard without being on a label, and yet the labels, it's almost like a bill in Congress, you know? If something goes in there, it never gets out. All this time is spent on planning it. It's like, what made you take the move you did and say, okay, this is it. I'm turning my life over to the spirit of a power greater than myself, you know. And I'm gonna get my message out. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and so if you wanted to take this music into your house and download it onto your machine, if you go to my website, it's on there, and you could download it. It doesn't even cost anything for the immediate future. You could go right on there and have it for free. My website is Joshua Skaja, that's S-K-A-J-A, that's my last name, .com, and you can go from the main page, or if you feel like typing the whole thing in, joshuaskaja.com/music, and you can get all five of these tracks for free.
Yeah, it's a really nice site, and it's really good music on there, so it's a nice trip, you know, it really is, you know, nice enough that I wanted to share it with people, you know. Not that I'm the final last word, but, you know, and I could tell what's real and what's bullshit, and you're real, you know, and I really appreciate that with all the gimmicks and what's his name? The little kid that all the girls love?
Justin Bieber.
Oh, God, help me. Help me, God. Help me.
I heard his song at the gym today, and I thought, this is the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Come on, every beaver is justified. I mean, just think, you have to have beaver in this world. it makes it interesting, I guess. Not that I have any other hidden meanings behind that in any way, shape, or form. So where do you tend to go?
I'm grateful for what you have.
Oh, yeah, you know what? It's like, For those who didn't read my book, you're really you know, you're really silly because it's really very warm, and it's been, I mean, people that you respect so much have written that this is the, this is, even people you know in the Rock Hall have said, Artie, I can't believe you broke the barrier, and I really went inside, and it bothers me because, you know, I sold a lot of books. I'm still in the hole because I did it to get the story out on the inside. So it's the same with selling books and selling records. There's just so many games going on. So I just say I'm going to just stick to my guns, you know, do it the way I feel. And I guess from what I hear in your lyrics and what I've heard and what I liked about it is you seem to feel the same way.
Most definitely.
You know, I don't really feel like you compromised a lot, you know, in your lyrics. You know, I mean, compromise is okay, but giving it all away is not okay. Because now we're talking about the future of generations, you know, and we want them to have a future, so that's important. We don't want to be the generation that couldn't, right? The generation that couldn't get it up, God Almighty. What a terrible...
They couldn't knuckle down and get the job done. We don't want to be that generation.
Right. So it's like, which reminds me of a song. It's a cover song of your album. I think it's a cover song. I Will Follow You Into the Dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Death Cab for Cutie tune that I love playing, and I play all the instruments on this one. It's me on upright bass and ukulele and guitar and singing. I got a friend singing some harmony on it.
Let's hear this, and then we'll talk a little, and then we'll go out together. You can hang with me.
I saw the trees but not the forest. I heard the verse but not the chorus. I studied those who came before us. Who's to say what will be in the end? I was taking all that's given. I made a life but not a living. Lord knows I won't be forgiven. Who's to say what will be in the end? I took my child to the top of the hill. I stood there and looked down. This sacrifice must be God's will. Oh Lord, your love spills on the ground. I heard the broken angels calling, the heights of a mountain softly falling. Found heaven's beauty so appalling. Who's to say what saviors will be sent? I tread the path of no tomorrow. I stole the friends I couldn't borrow. Their bodies strewn along that hard road. Who's to say what lies around the bend? I took my child to the top of the hill. I stood there and looked down. This sacrifice must be God's will. Oh Lord, your love spills on the ground. By the resistance, they came so close from such a distance. I gave in to their persistence. Who's to say what we'll have to defend? I saw the things they were concealing. I rose to say what I was feeling. Revelation sent me reeling. Who's to say that now is not pretend? I took took my child to the top of the hill. I stood there and looked down. The sacrifice must be God's will. Oh Lord, your love spills on the ground. Oh Lord, your love spills on the ground. Oh Lord, your love spills on the ground. Oh Lord, your love spills on the ground.
Hey Josh, you're gonna go out for Little League this year?
What's this, Artie?
You gonna play Little League baseball this year?
One more time, I'm sorry.
I said, are you gonna play Little League baseball this year?
Oh, Little League baseball? No, you know, they get mad at me because I'm 6'2", and they tell me I'm taking unfair advantage of the kids.
Yeah, but come on, the American dream. You could be a star in a Little League, and you could work at McDonald's. Which I did. I did all those things. I was a star in Little League, and I did work at McDonald's. And I did drive an ice cream truck. I did all that stuff. Anything, you know, in those days, if you made $10 in a week extra, boy, you were loaded. You know, especially out on Long Island where I lived in New York at the time. And, just going through the revolution of people wanting freedom. And I think we're pretty much at that point now. And I think that the baddies, you know, are starting to get the idea that the goodies are not going to go away because this country was built for the goodies. And you know, and some of the baddies, you know, and by baddies I mean the people who are not allowing votes to come to the floor that have to be done to keep our government going and to at least give Obama a chance to get his program, because even if all of his plans went through, it would still take, I think, 14 years, you know, for him to try to get it straight. So, you know, we should be doing everything we can to back him instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars advertising, you know, against him when we have problems without him, you know, with what he did in the past. He has a pretty clean past, actually, because the guy is like he's a regular guy. At least he seems so to me, you know, and from my one conversation, that's what I got out of it, you know. And, you know, I never liked the feeling at the Sidwell School when I spoke there where his kids go. It was just, you know, amazing that, you know, that one school, a high school, which has half the kids coming from the inner city and ghettos on scholarship, and 80-something percent of the student body at this high school go to an Ivy League school and graduate. And this is kids that come from the inner city, you know, nothing, you know, no food, no cars, no checks, no nothing, you know. I don't mean that, ladies. I meant no ladies. I didn't mean chicks in a negative way. It was just what came to my mind. I guess I was bird-like at that moment. So, Josh, it's really been great. You know, I really, you know, I look forward to hearing more of your stuff. You know, put more stuff out. You know, you get to follow. You can keep in touch with me. I can keep in touch with you. And you know what? The song that we just played, I Will Follow You Into the Dark. You know what? We cannot follow these people into the dark. We can't do it. It means the end. It means the end of the world as we know it. And we don't even know it because we don't know what we're hearing anyway. But, you know, we do have to stand up against the... We got to not follow not nice people into the dark. We really got to stand up. And the fact you made it your cover song, it must have meant something to you, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, because it's unusual to take someone else's song and make it your cover song, you know, that you put in the album, and especially that song. But it really fits. It's almost like you wrote it just for what's going on now. And you hit it, so congratulations, because I know what it feels like when you're writing, when you hit it. It's a great feeling. It's just a great feeling. So I just like to say to Joshua Skaja, right?
Skaja, close enough.
Skaja, okay. Well, one of those Joshuas. Just pick up a Joshua, you know. And just don't talk about the burning bush too much, you know, and then you may get me crazy. I know bushes burn. I've never tried. Well, they do burn, because I can't tell how I know that, but bushes can burn. Anyway, with that, leaving you thinking, what the heck was I talking about? Because I have no idea, except the music is great. Joshua is great. Thank you so much, Joshua. You know, looking forward to having you back. Looking forward to hearing more. And I'll go out with this song that just seems to mean a lot to a lot of people. It was actually written for my late wife and I when we were dosed at the Woodstock Festival, and we had never really taken a psychedelic. And there, Michael had disappeared somewhere, and there I was, sort of like in control of what I had to do, and totally frightened. And Bert wrote this song. We're all playing in the same band. It was the same time that 20 minutes before Joan Baez, because I couldn't find Linda and I was scared, had me put my head in her lap and she was pregnant, and just stroked my hair until I felt better. So, we all stood together and we all played in the same band. So why don't we just write out we're all playing in the same band? Because you know what, guys? We got to play in the same band. We have no choice, you know? And let's rock and groove again, you know? You know, I mean, I love people who say rock started in San Francisco in the 60s. You know, what are they forgetting about? Fats Domino and Buddy Holly and the Everly Brothers and, Percy Sledge and, you know, songs like When a Man Loves a Woman. I mean, to me, as far as my years on this earth, you know, in this form, you know, sometimes I go out as a lizard, but, I think Gene Simmons has trademarks on all lizards. You can't go as a lizard unless you get permission from, Gene Simmons. Now, I'm only joking, and if I offended you, Gene, I certainly take it back, because I didn't mean to. So thank you so much, Josh, and let's just go out. We're all playing in the same band. Let's really mean it tonight, because we are all playing in the same band.
We're all playing in the same band. We're all playing.